So yeah, I know that I began this series talking about helping you to come to a place of freedom from being moved by what other people think about you or what they say about you. We're still on point now, okay? But the reason that I've been these last couple of segments I've been talking about your self-image is because of the tremendous impact that we have allowed what others say or think about us, the tremendous impact that that has had on our own self-concept or our own self-image. And as we've been talking about, I'm going to keep saying some things over and over again because I really want you to get this. This is key. What I mentioned previously, and I'll mention it again now, is that you can't consistently act in a way that's not consistent with the way that you see yourself. Okay? So, like I said, God had a missionary call on my life. He called me to the nations before I even had a clue. All I knew when I became a Christian is I love the Lord. I love him and I want to serve him. And Lord, I just want to do your will, whatever it is. I love you. I'm so thankful for you saving me. I'm so thankful for you having mercy upon me and the kind of person that I was. So that's where I was. I was a Christian. I loved the Lord. I wanted to tell other people about the Lord, but I had no, it never entered in my mind something about telling people in other nations about the Lord, going to other nations, living in a different culture. They never crossed my mind. You know why? Because I couldn't see it. Why couldn't I see it? Because that, at that time, was inconsistent with the way that I saw myself. Whatever kind of person you think that you are, anything that, any possibility that you might think of, and you'll think that you can do it, it will agree with the way you see yourself. Let me give you another. This is crazy. Okay, we're just going to talk now, okay? When I was in college, or growing up, even before I went to school, I mean, the university, somehow I picked up this concept, and some of you have heard this, and some of you who are black like I am, you can relate to it. Somehow I picked up the concept that, you know, black people don't do good in water. Okay, check me. Hang with me, okay? This is where I was. This is where I was. That basically, black people don't really do that swimming thing too good. And we can do a whole lot of other sports very well. We excel in a whole lot of other ones, but one of them is not swimming. Black people can't swim. Somehow, by what I observed and by what I heard in my adolescence, I adopted that idea to be true. So you know what? I ain't even trying to learn how to swim. Why should I try to learn how to swim? Because I saw, okay, this is a simple little equation, okay? Black people can't swim. That's one premise. Second premise, I am black. The conclusion, I can't swim. Okay, now you might be laughing with me, okay, but check this out. This is how we reason, and this is how we get things that we believe on a heart level. And once a belief drops into your heart, that's in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I mean, go down to the very core of your belief system, and we got to fix that thing up if we want to see God's will come to pass in our lives, right? So check this out. Here I, you know, of course, I went through junior high and high school, and my dad was in the military, and every now and then he would take us, you know, my brother and my two sisters and some of the neighborhood kids who wanted to go, he'd take us on to the base, the military base, because on the base they had a big old gym and they had big old Olympic-sized swimming pool, okay? So every so often, my dad would say, hey, We're going to the pool. And man, we would get hyped. We would get excited. Glory to God. I wasn't saying glory to God because I wasn't born again yet. But we'd be excited about going to the pool. And we get out there to the pool. You know, they got like the 3.5 foot, it starts at 3.5 foot deep. And then gradually as you go down, it gets on down to the other end where it's 12 feet deep. You know that when we got up in that Olympic stadium sized pool, we went straight to the 3.5 feet and we had a good time running around in the water. never thought about swimming, never thought about doing a backstroke or doing a front stroke or doing a butt up, never entered our minds. We had enough fun just running and playing tag, splashing each other right there in the 3.5 foot. Now, why was that? I'm just going to talk about myself. It goes for the rest of my, you know, my brothers and sisters and our friends too. We were all black and we had a part of our self-image that said, we don't do good with water. We can't swim. Okay, remember what I said, the little simple equation. Premise number one, black folks can't swim. Premise number two, I am black. Conclusion, I can't swim. So, you know, as long as I believe that, all I do when I see a big body of water, I wasn't scared of getting in the water. But when I got in the water, I never thought about swimming. So, you know, I wasn't trying to go down to the deep end. No, I stay right down to 3.5 foot, 4 foot. And when that water start getting up to half of my chest, time to back up. Get on back over to 3.5 feet. All right. Now, it came to a head because I ended up graduating from high school and I went to UNC Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, pretty prestigious university in North Carolina in the United States. And you know what? I learned this as a freshman. They had a requirement that when it's time for you to graduate, you have to, of course, maintain a certain grade point level. You have to pass a certain amount of classes, so you have a certain amount of credit hours that you've achieved. But they also, one of the requirements is that you have to have passed the swim test. What? Wait a minute. Hold on. See, as a freshman, I read that and I understood that. But you, my self-concept could not support me passing the swim test. So you know what I did? I just decided not to even think about it. I went through my freshman year, my sophomore year, my junior year. And then when I came up to my senior year, and I'm doing good. I got my credit hours going good. I'm all set to graduate on time. But that one requirement of passing the swim test, I got to do something about that now. So I ended up taking a swim course. You know, I think it's a doggone last semester. Yeah, I waited to the last semester of my last year to take a swim course. And, you know, they start out, of course, we all in the water, and they tell you, okay, pinch your nose with two fingers, pinch your nose, close your eyes. And, you know, we're all standing up in the 3.5 feet. And now on three, we're all going to go and put our heads underwater. Good gosh, I could feel my heart racing when she was just explaining the instructions on what we're about to do. I'm serious. So, you know, one, two, three. Take your head up. You bring that head up and you slapping them eyes, trying to get the water out of your eyes. And whew, that's where I was. And that's where the other black people that were in the swim course with me, that's where we all were. But, you know, over the course of time, she took it step by step with us and was very patient with us. And doggone it, she didn't teach us how to go all the way down and swim even in deep water. Because, you know, I wasn't trying to go in no water that I couldn't walk in. But to pass the swim course, we had to, the swim test that we had to pass, they said, okay, basically, you got to get into the water and you got to swim from the shallow end all the way down to the deep end, all the way back, and then swim down to the deep end again and stay afloat in the deep water for 5 minutes. Okay, I mean, let me make this long story short. It turns out that the swim test came up and I went down there and, you know, I did. I went on down there. I mean, I was bloated. I was tired. I was huffing and puffing. It wasn't smooth like you see people just laying in the water and stroking and going down. You can't even hardly tell anybody is in the water. It's just a little bit of, no, I was slapping them waves. But I made it down. And then I made it back, and then I went down there, and then she said, okay, now you have 5 minutes to remain afloat in the deep water. Boy, I tell you, I did every kind of duck paddle. I did the dog paddle. I did the duck paddle. I might have did the turtle paddle. I'm not sure what you call what I was doing, but I was doing everything that I could do to stay afloat. And guess what? I did it. I stayed afloat for 5 minutes. So you know what? Looking back on it, I thought about that thing and it changed a part of my self-image that was firmly rooted, that said that because I'm black, I mean, black people can't swim. I am black, therefore I can't swim. I changed that because of what I experienced. So now I love swimming. I can swim. But all of that time up until senior year, last semester, end of the semester, swim test, all of my life up to that point, I didn't do anything but walk around in the 3.5 feet water and splash water in my brother's eyes. So see, now I'm able to do more. And we've gone to some places. I've done ministry work where we have to get to an island. The only way you can get to the island is on a little canoe type boat with a little motor in the back. And they ain't got no life jackets in there. Well, you know what? It was God's plan to use me to go to these remote places and reach people with his word. But the way I was before I realized that I could actually swim, I would not have been able to do that part of God's plan. Now I'm free and we out there in the water and it looked like a little 10-year-old or he's driving the boat in the back, you know, I'm like, and we're way out deep in the water to get to this remote island. And I'm thinking, if this boat turned over, I'll be all right because I know how to swim. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm going to close. Gosh, I feel like I'm rambling on. But I just want you to know that, again, I want to get you to the point where you're not moved by what other people say or think about you, because that will affect your self-image. I want you to be moved only by what God says about you. The Word of God says in Psalm 119 and verse 128, this is David's attitude, and this is my attitude, and I want it to be your attitude. I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So David made the decision, and I made the decision. I don't care what I think about myself. I don't care what you think about me. What does God say about me? I made the decision that what I find in his word, what God shows me from his word, that's the truth as far as I'm concerned. And if I have believed something differently, I'm going to change. Because I esteem everything that God has said about everything, including about me, to be right. That's what I'm going to hold on to. Okay, I'm going to stop there. God bless you. I appreciate you listening in. And again, don't forget, let me hear from you if you have a moment, okay? I'd love to hear how you're feeling as we're rolling out this particular series. I thank God and I thank you for giving me another opportunity to share with you words that encourage and thoughts that inspire. You take it easy, okay? God bless you. Bye-bye.